call this evening. Like I said, this evening's Triathlon Summit call is with Dr. Romanoff. And Dr. Romanoff first released his video, The Pose Method of Running, in 1997. In 2002, he published his first book, The Pose Method of Running. Both the video and the book became bestsellers, first of this kind in the running field, and international bestsellers. Dr. Romanoff has worked with numerous elite athletes in various sports and the members of the national teams for four countries, including the United States, Great Britain, Russia, and Mexico. He has coached the British Triathlon National Team in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney and 2004 Olympics in Athens. He has also served as a member of the USA Triathlon Coaching Committee from 1996 to 2002. And with that, I'd like to welcome you, Dr. Romanoff, to the call. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you. We're okay.
Okay, good, good. All right, so let's start off with the first question I got for you tonight, and that is, what is the pose method exactly?
Okay, it's quite simple. It is a method of teaching any movement which could be decomposed on consequent poses, by key poses in these sequences. Accordingly to this concept, there is the pose model of movement based on the pose theory of movement. And any movement on Earth is the product of gravitational force working with other forces as one single system. This is what's a major point.
Okay, okay. And when you say the major forces, you mean gravity and things?
It's correct. Gravity, we call it gravitational force. It's the same thing. It appears on the Earth what we perceive as a body weight.
Right, right. Okay. And so how did you come about inventing this whole method? I mean, first you started off with running. Is that correct?
Not actually. It all comes from necessity. And as a matter of fact, the first event triggering point for me was discus throwing. I came from track and field, I was a teacher, young teacher in university, and there was necessity to teach track and field events in the faculty where I used to work in Russia in university, and it's a physical culture and sport faculty. So discus throwing was a triggering event, but as soon as pose concept was described and clear, it was so easy to immediately spread out on any movement which was available at that time, track and field, of course.
Right. Okay, interesting. And so what are the benefits for a triathlete in using the pose method? Because you now also have the pose method in your newest book, for triathletes, both in cycling and swimming now, too, not just running. So what are the benefits of this for a triathlete?
Benefits are quite obvious and very clearly could be understand how you can get them. It is coming from the point that it's unified methods with the same principles and concepts applicable to any movement, allowing to see an approach with a common structure of teaching and moving. So it makes it much easier to teach everything and much faster. Besides this, it is in the method which allows eliminate most injuries and improve performance by dramatically increasing the skill of movement. This is like on the surface benefits which you can get immediately.
Okay. And how long does it take to learn the pose method in all the given sports of triathlon?
Like anything in any other human being's learning, it depends on the person, of course. But what we can say as experience with many different people is it depends on athlete's ability to focus on learning tasks and develop a very specific perception of movement. It's nothing to do with physical abilities, I mean strength, endurance, or something like that. It's deliberately comes to the point of ability to focus and perceive. For some people, it is a matter of a couple of lessons only, and for others, it would take much longer. Basically, it's a lack of education in specific direction in learning. And this is a lack of education. We are closing gap with our students. And as long you're going through this process, and I mean everyone is perfecting the skill, you will understand that it's never-ending process. These physical abilities are ending somewhere, but the perfection of and our perception, it's endless process. It makes this journey very much exciting and enjoyable.
I see. And you're a big fan of doing drills, I know. And so why don't you just explain the importance of doing drills to learn technique?
It's very easy. It's from practical point of view. Drills are waking up and teach you specific perceptions, which allows you to involve muscular work in proper coordination and strength. It's just on the surface. Answer by example. One of the greatest Russian ballerina, Maya Plissetskaya, told a very simple thing. When somebody asked her how she keep endure her such a incredible skill in ballet, and she gave an interview when she was 67 years old, she told, oh, it's very easy. You're just going every single day to the rehearsal room in front of mirrors in the bar and do your very simple and beginning school exercise in ballet, which is the five major poses. This is what secret of any skill.
Right, very interesting. All right, and so how often do you suggest doing drills then?
To our athletes whom we work with, to maintain and develop our perception, we need to do a small set of drills before and after each specific workout and running. It allows you do like warm-up and cool-down sessions, half of sessions, and maintain, and when you get tired after main part of the session, recover your condition. And these drills are very good on this matter. In swimming and cycling, it is mostly before main part as a warm-up session. And we recommended doing running basically each training session and included in warm-up and cool-down. It's about 3-5 minutes only, and it's about 5 to 6 classical drill sets.
All right, great. Okay, and can you describe like the basic principles behind pose running and what it involves? I know there's three basic things that you get at in your book. Can you describe that for us?
It comes to simple three words. It's a pose, fall, pull. But besides this, is we understand that running is the movement of the man's body in horizontal direction by reproducing running pose while falling forward from one pose to the other. And while this is happening, we have to understand that leading force for this falling is gravity, manifesting as and through the body weight. And the rest of the forces are just assisting to it in order to produce a horizontal movement of body. So basically it goes like that. How to consume gravity in the highest rate. This is what major principle comes to. And its accomplishment of this happens through three major things. Pose, fall, pull.
So pose, fall, and pull, you said, right?
If you want, I will give you more lecturing in this matter, but I'm trying to be short.
Oh, no, that's all right. I mean, you can go through each one of those for us if you want, through the pose, the fall, and the pull. Why don't you just do that? Why don't you just to start with the pose.
Carry pose, it's a position of the body where you're falling from. Means consume gravity or using your body weight to move forward. There is nothing else you can do. You have to be just in the pose and wait while your falling body moving forward. And there are critical point happen when you cannot fall any more forward. It will be more downward rather forward. And this point, you are just disconnecting yourself with the ground. And this is what when happen pull, when you're pulling foot from the ground, to disengage yourself from the ground and prepare yourself into another pose and on the next step, and you start again fall. So we have to cut off any other elements or unnecessary movement which not include preparation to the fall, which happen only in the pose position. It's very specific. It's mid-stance running position and very specific oriented body parts and so on. Everybody knows this because it's in running called mid-stance position.
Right.
And this is what skill of running comes to. How you fall, how to use gravity, and how you change support from one leg to another or reproduce pose. This is what, how simple is that?
Yep, very simple. Good. All right, and then with post-cycling, what are the principles behind that?
Nothing different than in running. Only in cycling we have a system, bicycle men together, but the leading force is still gravity, which we have to manage, apply as the body weight to the pedals, which are moving downwards from 1 o'clock under the body weight influence. It's clockwise motion of pedals, if you would like to visualize the picture. And this is a repetitive motion. So our skill of application of the same principles comes to the how to apply body weight to the pedal from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And you cannot apply body weight in any other pedal position. It's our restriction in a physical field of gravity, and then how to use muscles as the providers of efficient delivery of the body weight to the pedals over a specific body position. Again, and we're dealing with the pose on the cycling as well. It's a position which we call 3-9 o'clock pedal position, and handlebars, hands on handlebars, and seated position. It's a major position on the bike. And from this point, your body weight delivering start on the pedals.
All right, excellent. And what about pose with swimming? What are the principles behind that?
Oh, it's probably the most difficult part for people to understand because water is a very deceptive medium. Water, density of water, as you know, many times less than the ground. So, nevertheless, water can provide you support. And nevertheless, you can use gravitational force as a body weight in the water as well. So, swimming happens in horizontal movement. And we're reproducing, again, specific body position. It's a horizontal body position with one arm extended in front. And application of the body weight happen in the same way to the palm of the hand, which is stretched forward in front of you. And while it's happening like that, our body raised up, and then you're falling from this raised up position of the body into the from left side, for example, to the right side. And this is what how gravity starts work for you. And everything what you do with muscular efforts, you're just reproducing this falling position. And they allows you to provide efficient delivery of the body weight in each stroke. exactly like we do in running and in cycling, in any movement, actually.
Yeah.
Swimming was very difficult in terms of water as a support perceived, you know. And this is what I found the most difficult to deliver for our students. As long as they understand that hand in front of you is a support, not moving part, then everything falls into place.
Excellent. Okay. And so through your techniques, how much time have you seen people take off their times using the pose with cycling?
Oh, it's incredible. I had my normal people who, for example, run a marathon about 5 hours first time in Chicago Marathon, for example. Mm-hmm. And then they came after niggling knee pain to me, and I trained with them to the next marathon and to Chicago, the same marathon. And I developed with them technique. We get rid of the pain and so on, and they got rid of it like more than 1 hour from marathon time.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's kind of with the normal people. With the elite-level people, it could just recently I got an email from the man whom I completely don't know, but he learned pole dance himself. He shaved from 320 to 252 just by learning pole dance.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But more elite level, I had people who run 216 marathon, you know. So I had ladies who run 221 marathon whom I train in Russia. So I shave with them from, for example, time of when they start running. You understand, it's elite guys, you know.
Right, right.
When they run 242, it's a woman's time, you know.
Right.
This girl was in the Soviet Union national team, and I worked with her 8 years. And then when we go through the program and she learned the things, she ran from 242 to 221 later on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Well, that's huge, definitely huge savings. I'm sure people want to hear that for sure. So do people using the pose method, do they get less injuries?
Well, that's obviously, absolutely. Otherwise, you cannot sell anything what doesn't help people, you know. And I'm not a good seller, but I'm a teacher and I'm a scientist, you know. But I have very good response on the pulse method from people all over the world who like it and who... always sending to me gratefulness for bringing pose method for them and allowed them run without pain, you know. And I have several cases with complete removed the cartilages in the knee, and these people now are capable to run without pain, which is incredible thing for me, you know. And
yeah.
Plus, I had them, and I still have people. Invalids, you know, with such a disease like what's called cerebral palsy.
Sure.
If you're familiar with this disease,
yeah,
it's a brain disease where people are very awkward in the movement. And I have people whom we teach on different continents, and particularly in Russia, where several girls become. Members of Russian national team, Paralympic Games, and one of the girls was in Beijing Olympic Games, Paralympics Games.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yes, and I have very good experience in New Zealand with kids with the same disease as well. It works remarkably good.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
It's a good question. We are doing research now in this direction, and I'm trying to understand the depth of the thing. But in theory, what the hypothesis is, and as a concept, it allows them overcome brain cells disconnections.
Mm.
The concept of pose allows breakthrough disconnected brain cells and connect things in one pattern. And then This is what allows muscles work in the proper movement. This is what I saw outcome when we taught these people. First, they couldn't even walk properly, you know, I mean, close to normal. And then they start run, as you couldn't even recognize that these invalids, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, see, if you want to, I can send you, I have footages with these people running, and you will never think that this is people with such a disease.
Yeah, no, I'd love to see that. Love to see that for sure. Definitely send me that.
But I have tape.
Yeah, no, I'd love to see it for sure. For sure. Okay, and, you know, your technique, you know, when you start doing it, things start changing in terms of the way you're striking on your foot and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, you know, it's tough to find a pair of shoes to run in, and because most shoes, you know, out there are loaded for heel striking and things. So I just wanted to get your opinion on shoes out there and what's a good shoe to use if you're using the pose method.
Gary, unfortunately, we are not in good agreement with shoe manufacturing. Unfortunately. They still produce what was developed in the era of running boom in the 70s, when millions of unskillful runners entered to the field, and it was much easier to give them something substitution for the skill as shoes rather than teach them proper run, you know?
Right.
And now we're coming to the new era, because these people grow up and they understood that running itself, it's not just an exciting thing, but it's painful as well if you're executing it wrong. So there are new requests or requirements to shoes coming up. You know, people become more knowledgeable, and they understand that in these bulky shoes, you can't run as the nature asking you. So we are coming to the point that the request on shoe with minimum shoe sole is a thin shoe soles, or what we call racing flats, will be inevitably the first request and the growing request from runners. As long as we are going with this education, it will come up more and more. And what we do recommend from beginning, since I was in Russia, it was thin sole shoes, flat shoes. But I cannot recommend you some particularly things like any shoe companies which I like it, because I didn't find yet perfectly fitted shoe for me, for myself. So some of them, I put it what I like it, I put it on the website, but I can't really get with kind of very exciting suggestion that this is the best shoes. No, still not.
Yeah, yeah. You need to make your own shoe, man.
Yeah, we are working on.
Oh, are you? Good deal.
Yeah,
good
we do. So you will be first one whom I will send it.
Good deal. No, I'm always looking for a good shoe, because I love the pose method myself, and so I basically just try to find the thinnest, lightest shoe I can find that just, you know, basically lets my foot do whatever, you know.
It's some companies like Mizuno, Asics. Some so-called not for running but for casual things like walking and hiking, something in England somebody produced, and a little bit Puma, but it's so little that it doesn't satisfy the yet requests which already grow up quite big. So we are hoping that it will come anyway.
Good deal. Good deal. That's great. All right. And then that brings up orthotics. And, you know, obviously orthotics do a lot of different things to people's feet. And, you know, a lot of people swear by them for running and things like that. What are your thoughts on orthotics, and how does that pertain to the pose method?
Okay. Unfortunately, I do not support orthotics, because they are kind of crunches for your run, you know.
Mm.
They kind of giving you to substitute your muscular work and your ligaments and tendons development. It's a substitution for your weakness, you know, which I can't support. And I prefer develop the body rather than give support for the body. And our experience quite clear in this matter. I had the tremendous amount of people who came to me personally with arthritics and all this support stuff. And in 2-3 months, they start bothering them. I didn't force anyone to drop them, you know. I told, if you like it, please keep them. But all of them drop it, you know.
Mm.
I didn't do anything to persuade people to drop. And so I told, well, when your muscles will be developed, your feet will be developed, you will feel that they are bothering you. And it's exactly what happened. In a second, when you start running on the ball of the feet, your muscles and your tendons and ligaments will be involved in much higher level of work. And they start develop, they start train, you know. And while they will start train, less and less any support will be needed. And everyone who will go through this process will see this and feel it. So I don't need to say anything. I'm just giving you my opinion as an experience.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing against orthotics if there are really clinical cases and they could really help someone who has damage there and injury which cannot yet be treated, you know. In
yeah.
this case, of course, they probably would be very good, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And so where can people – you just came out with a brand-new book, and it's the Pose Method of Triathlon Techniques. Where can people pick this book up?
It's Barnes & Noble. They already have it. I check if they have it.
Oh, good deal.
And Amazon has as well.
Okay.
And, of course, on the Pose website, posetech.com, we have our products available as well. So I guess it's no problem at all in America.
Definitely. And the people who are on this call, you're all going to get an email from me, and I'll shoot you the information about where you can get the get these books and the links and things like that. We've got a few people here on the webcast who are just asking a few questions here.
Yes, please.
You want to hear it?
Yes, yes. I would be happy to answer whatever I can.
Okay. All right. First guy we got is he's saying his name's Got to Run from New York, and he says, Dr. Romanoff, have you tried chi running? And if so, what do you think of its founder, Danny Dreyer? Are you two friends, or are you guys more rivals? Danny's actually going to be speaking later on in the summit, but go ahead. What's your response?
Okay. As a scientist, I am trying everything in this field. I do research in this field. And before Pose Method came up in 1977, I studied everything what was available in the world. I found nothing there, you know. What I understood by that time, that there was no method available to teach and model of running, except Pose model and Pose method of running. Until now, still know anything. Chi running quite similar to Pose method, and probably Danny Dreyer get up quite good sense of how it's supposed to be. Well, but he has mistakes over there, by mechanical mistakes. I do understand that he doesn't understand these particular things related with biomechanics, because as he revealed himself, he is not from a classical physics field. He didn't like it. He wrote about this in his article, and he came from no education in this field. And though he does these mistakes, unfortunately, there, and it's usually cause for people problems, and particularly like landing on the midfoot. Anatomically, midfoot, it's an arch, you know, and you cannot land there. Practical part, which we're using, for landing on our feet, it's very easy to check, just to look at your own bottom of your foot in the mirror, and you will see it very clearly that the warning part of your foot will be ball of the foot and your heel. This is only the two places we are landing. There are side, lateral side as well, but you cannot land there. It will be quite strong supinated position, and it will lead you to the injury. So what Chiranning is proposing, landing on midfoot or flat foot, it's quite, biomechanically speaking, incorrect, you know. And where they're pulling foot from the ground, still the same. You cannot fall if your foot behind the body, it's impossible to fall. So what he declares as a falling forward, basically it would be impossible because count interacting part of the foot will be behind the body. It's a physics, simple physics, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm glad that somebody does teach people the same thing like gravity, falling forward, which is correct thing, you know. So more we have different teaching like that, more good for people, because people in the final day will select themselves what is good for them and what is not. And variety of teaching is good always, you know.
Right.
Whoever does mistakes, it's okay as well. It's, in the historical time, it will be corrected anyway. But more teachers outside, it's less percentages of people will be injured. So I prefer have a little bit less correct technique, but that somebody will be taught by someone, you know, rather than just running without any teaching. So my view on this positive, except that I cannot accept this biomechanical flaws which lots of people produce and Chiranning as well. But it's another discussion, I guess.
yes. All right. And the same person asks, what type of runners should consider pose, and is pose compatible to the run, walk, break strategy as advocated by Jeff Galloway?
Yeah, Jeff Galloway created a very nice boom for people who were not capable to run marathon but had the incredible desire, and it was very helpful. It's still okay to do this, but in terms of if you're using proper technique, Jeff Galloway's gliding stride was incorrect from point of view biomechanics, and it caused for people lots of injuries because gliding is basically stretching out. And another thing, walking, if you really want to run marathon, it should be running, you know. And walking marathon, it's a different kind of event, you know. And I would prefer and accept this kind of training program as for beginners, very, very beginners, people who never had any experience in sport, and they want to go forward and train for marathon. But from my point of view, from my personal point of view, I don't do these things. I prefer develop skill first, not the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching technique is more profitable. In my training, which I do for people, people don't run longer than half marathon. Training for marathon, and most my people, with absolutely rare exceptions, finish marathon with PRs,
mm-hmm.
including on top level, of course, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not advocate of long, slow distance run, you know. This is what I'm advocating: quality, high-level technique, high level of skill, and focused run. This is what the formula of success, all toppest guys in the world, from historical perspective, back in the history, up to now, you know. This is what, and I hope I will reveal these things in the coming book, which I'm writing about training in running.
Interesting. So you never have anyone go run over 13 miles then?
Mostly, yeah, no. I had a couple people who insisted to run longer. I told, well, if you want to, go ahead and do it. But I don't think, from my perspective, that it will be profitable for you. And they saw later on that it's really so. We have to understand that marathon is a mental performance rather than physical.
Mm-hmm.
People, I guess you have been on the finish line of marathon, right?
Yes, yeah.
Did you see people out of breath there?
Not many.
Right, okay. Yeah. I saw mostly people out of legs there.
True, yeah.
Of breath. So there is no problem with oxygen capacity, means aerobic capacity. There are problems with skill. People just couldn't move legs. Their muscles damaged completely. They have soreness. My people who run pose method, they, particularly it's good for women, you know, they are happy. They, after marathon, go shopping, you know, because they have no muscle soreness and any kind of consequence of marathon.
Yeah.
And this is a very good example for you, you know. And these people didn't run longer than half marathon, you know, in whole line of preparation. Because technique allows you to maintain speed which you need or which you're developing from 10K to marathon. Basically, marathon is the extension of 10K. This is what my concept of marathon preparation.
Excellent. All right. We have Cheryl from Sunnyvale, and she wants to know, how does your swim technique compare to total immersion?
That's good. It's the same thing what we discussed with cheer running. I have to give a credit first to Terry Laughlin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Laughlin was a pioneer in developing methods in swimming, and we have to give him absolutely all credits in this case, you know. In the United States, nobody really developed a method of teaching swimming, and he did it first. But again, unfortunately, in regarding technique, I can't say the same thing. There was a technical flaw, and coming from, again, the same thing, not clear understanding by mechanics of swimming, you know, and I would be happy to help with these things with for Terry, but unfortunately, last several years we didn't contact with each other. And flaws over there coming from many different things, such a kind of gliding, because it's a flaw, because water has much more resistance and drag than air, you know, so gliding is kind of impossible. You have to always have application of force over there. Second is rotation of the hip as a power production of swimming stroke, which is complete flow, because where the body weight not applied, muscles couldn't apply it as well, and the force couldn't apply consequently, you know. And this part complete was came from middle of 90s as a hip hop of swimming, like something like new fashion, but it's already gone, you know. And actually, top swimmers never use it ever. And unfortunately, this doesn't allow use for top swimmers this technique as well, you know, because these biomechanical flaws, they feel immediately. Top swimmers never use any gliding and any hip rotations. Technique based on the application of the body weight, even though they do not understand this, as it was in running as well. Like top is like genius running, like Michael Johnson. He executed Paul's method incredibly, but he never knew about this, you know. It was
right.
Just gift of God, you know. Same thing like Usain Bolt. It's a just incredibly gifted man, you know, who executed what nature was whispering in his ear, you know.
Right.
And this is what Paul's method. And Usain Bolt, in swimming, for example, Michael Phelps, I would say he execute Paul's method. But I'm not sure he doesn't understand clearly this, because he's just incredibly gifted man, you know. It's a God bless him, you know. And this is happened with Mark Spitz as well, who, being a world record holder, once described his technique, which was complete nonsense. And his coach, James Councilman, historically fixed this in his book in 1971. And we're now laughing in the history back how it's happening with top swimmers, you know?
Right.
So we should not confuse people on this level and with people whom we have to teach how to swim. And I would suggest for total immersion, change direction from what they are already shifting quite good, you know, but they're still behind what it's supposed to be, you know, of applications of body weight and concept of support and using body weight. I hope in one day it will happen.
All right. Jennifer from St. Louis says, I understand both Hunter Kemper and Tim Don have studied the pose method with you. How has it helped them?
Oh, quite good. Hunter Kemper was using this from probably 2000, I do remember back in history, because his coach, George Dahlem, is a friend of mine. And as a matter of fact, George Dahlem wrote first pose method, the PhD in the world in 2000. And he was taught by George Dahlem at that time, and it what allows to be for Hunter one of the best runners. And unfortunately, several years ago, he dropped from this point, and before Olympic Games 2007, he was devastated by injuries in the hip, in low back, and he came to me to Miami, and I fixed him. And he, after that, come back to the running and got the Olympic spot, and he was Olympic performer, and actually it was his best performing in Olympic Games. So I did work to help him return to this level. Tim Don was my student from 1999, and I worked with him in Sydney Olympic Games with British team. Oh, well, his time on 10K was like we reduced about 2.5 minutes, and it's across all distances, actually. He became one of the fastest runners in the triathlon community, in the World Cup community. And plus, Tim Don, since I worked with him that time, he never had injuries in running.
Right.
And half of the British team who work with me, actually, they do not have injuries until now. I already stopped working with them. They still have good times, and they're doing good.
Good, good, excellent. And let's see. Mario from Chihuahua, Mexico, says, on running, what are the most basic things that we need to take care of improving technique and performance?
No, first thing, it's a perception. It's not about muscles, you know. It's a perception. And the perception, one of the most important perceptions, is the perception of the body weight, which appears as a pressure on the ball of the foot when you are on the ground. Second perception in the sequences, it will be pose, which is quite strong related with the body weight, because exactly body weight appears when we are in the pose. And then after that, it's perception of falling, how you fall. It's allowed to fall, because when you're staying in pose, in order to move forward, muscular effort's almost not supposed to appear in order to really do good movement forward. You have to just allow your body lean forward. It means rotate around the axis, which is a pivotal point on the ball of the foot. You can't apply muscular efforts into the falling. It's a very interesting rule. And people try to do so-called push-off, which is impossible to do. And that's why perception of falling is so precise and very important. And then after that, of course, pulling foot from the ground. Most people pull foot from the ground, but not under the hip. And it's a very important requirement in the pose method. It's a very tricky and a very precise requirement. You have to pull your foot, but your foot should be pulled under the hip. And this is what one of the flaws with the chi running. They don't understand, unfortunately, this thing. And they are pulling something behind. And if you do not have good perception of pulling under the hip, I'm emphasizing this again, you know, then you're missing a lot of things. And first thing is you are creating counterbalance in your body. And when you land on the ground, you're basically not falling, but just moving under the momentum into the so-called favorable position for falling. So you're wasting time. If you're pulling correct under the hip, you're landing, you're already in the pose, and next fall happens. So obviously this benefits right away from you. It's much less pounding into the ground, it's much less impact, and it's immediately reduced muscular efforts to maintain this position, all these counterbalances, and so on, and less load on the hamstring, and so on. Tremendous amount of pluses versus minuses. So this is what we have to maintain in our perception development in technique. Perception, you see, not strength, not endurance, anything, but perception of the body weight, pose, fall, pull.
Excellent. All right. Tanya from San Antonio asks, what do you do when you have bunions?
Bunions?
Yeah.
Oh, right. It's a medical question, but people who run with pose suffering from bunions much less, you know? It's a reduced load on these bones. And but unfortunately, it's a already medical problem, not movement problem. Even movement will help you with that. But if bunions already intolerable, of course, it exists a radical way of going to the surgery, which I don't like at all, you know. Mm. But this is the options: or either increase and improve your skill of movement, and it will reduce any negativity from bunions, or another thing is going to the surgery. Either one you will choose, I don't know, but I will prefer the first one.
Yeah. All right, and the last question we got here is from Ken Katz, who's a medical doctor. He says he's a talk doc from Pittsburgh.
So yes, I know him.
Oh, you know him? All right.
So he's incredibly active in the pose forum and very, very helpful for many people.
Yeah, he says, Dr. Romanoff, do you see a gradual adaption of the pose methods of bike, swim, run in the general triathlon community? And additionally, I have to personally thank you for everything. You've helped me regain my athletic career more than I thought possible, shedding injury and frustration. Simple, but not easy. Post-triathlon method is absolutely incredible and ultimately rewarding. Thank you, Dr. Romanoff. So his question
is... Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, he's a big fan.
Yes, I know. And he is very, very helpful for many people because he is one of the rare people who is very dedicated to this and who... not only dedicated, but he has a very deep understanding of all of these things. And he was one of the pioneers who took kind of boldness in his steps and jumped in the pose method himself and achieved lots of good things. So I am very happy to have people like him around and people who inspire other people. And I would probably have not less thank you for him as he does it for me.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. So that is basically it. So where can people get your Pose Method of Triathlon Techniques book again?
It's a Barnes & Noble's stores, then Amazon, and our PoseTech.com website. All of these things available on these resources.
Awesome, awesome. And like I said to the people on this call, I will shoot you out an email with that information and links to his book for sure. And that is it. Dr. Romanoff, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Oh, it was my big pleasure to be with you, Carrie. Thank you for inviting me. I got an incredible good time with you.
Good. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and
I
hope to see you in the future.
Yes, I will go with this hope. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone who is listening.